We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
It's that time, San Diego.
Oh, what time is it? Time to kick it!
Time for Gwen and Chris to help you close out your day.
I guess I've been working so hard, I forgot what it's like to be hard at work.
Time for you to forget about who stole your lunch at work.
This is it! This is it! Right here, right now!
Time for you to lock in on sports. Featuring Tony Gwynn Jr.
We don't turn our TVs on to watch it all the time. And, you know, for us in our society, until it's in our face, really not happening.
And Chris Ello.
We have two more words to pass along to you. Tranquilo, hijo. That is, what was it?
Chill, son.
Chill, son.
Gwen and Chris are on the air on 97.3 The Fan.
Here's a 1-1 curve. Hung it, and Tommy hits it well out to deep left. O'Neill going back, looking up, gonna go! Tommy Pham with his first home run of the season, and he gets it against the Redbirds.
It must have been a great weekend if even Tommy Pham hit a home run. And it was a great weekend. Welcome to Monday, everybody. Gwen and Chris, 301, top of the program to you from our Odyssey Palace studios here in San Diego. Chris Ello, Mr. Scraby. Tony Gwynn Jr. is down at Petco Park getting ready to call tonight's game between the Padres and the Colorado Rockies. Giants play a little bit earlier this evening. Could they lose? They could. They play in Cincinnati. If so, perhaps the Padres end the evening in first place in the National League West. They've won six of their last seven games, and it is good to chat with Tony Gwynn Jr. a day after I actually got to see Tony Gwynn Jr. out at the ballpark. How are you, buddy?
Yeah, I'm doing very well, Christopher. I got a chance to see you and your lovely wife, Lori, sitting here at the game yesterday. I shouted you guys out on Sunday. Was it Sunday or Saturday? You came.
Yesterday. I got to tell you.
It all runs together. Sorry.
Yeah, it does. I know, game after game after game. You're doing a lovely job, by the way, hanging the star out there. Trent Grisham makes a diving catch. I look up. Tony Gwynn Jr.'s hanging the star out.
Yeah,
Tuca Peter Marcano starts a beautiful double play. There's Tony Gwynn Jr. You got very good rhythm on that. Very good.
You know, I take a lot of pride in the sway of the
You've
star.
You've got to.
This star goes a long way back with me. You know, I've been around Qualcomm, Jack Murphy, and one of the things I used to, like, fascinate about was the star and who hung it and how it was hung. And so I've always envisioned it swinging a certain way, and I try to do that every time. And I try to make sure I'm on it. I got one so-so star hanging. It was because my heart wasn't in it. I didn't necessarily agree it should have been
really?
A star. Oh, really?
Dave Marcus prodded you
Dave
into it?
Dave Marcus propped it up. He was like, it was in the middle of the action. So he, like, kind of got his energy up, and he said it, and I just reacted. And then as I was throwing it out there, I was like, man, I don't know.
This is a half-hearted star.
I can't remember the play, but I do take a lot of pride.
Did you ever get a star making a play at Qualcomm or Petco Park? I guess it would be Petco Park.
I got quite a few stars.
Good. That's awesome.
I think it was 2010. I had a pretty good defensive year that year.
That's pretty cool getting a star. By the way, I did not know that you shouted us out on the broadcast yesterday. That leads me into kind of an uncomfortable story, which I will tell in just a second here. MLB.com's AJ Cassavell is going to be on the program today. and all of the recap of the Padres sweep of the St. Louis Cardinals. But as Tony mentioned, I was at the game yesterday, and I was sitting down below the broadcast booth with Lori. And how do I best say this story without sounding too bad of a guy? There's no other way around it. I'm just not a nice person.
Oh, no.
I'm not nice. Some lady came up in about the second inning and sat down with her husband, and she was very chatty, very chatty. And I wasn't really in the mood to be chatty. I was kind of in the mood to just watch the ball game, relax, spend a little quality time with Lori. We don't get to spend too many afternoons together, especially out at the ballparks, first game I've been to all year. And I want to thank Petco Park and everybody who puts the unbelievable effort that goes into allowing us all to come to a baseball game. It is such a production now in order to, you know, get your tickets and get in line and get there. And everybody does such a good job, and everybody's so pleasant and makes going to the game just a great experience. And, you know, after you miss it for a couple of years, you really appreciate that. So I want to make sure. I know, I'm stalling on the story. So the lady starts in and she goes, "You know, these are our season tickets here." And I go, "Oh, great." And she goes, "Are you with the radio station that does the games? Because everybody who sits next to us is from the radio station. What do you do there?" And I didn't feel like telling her who I was. You know what I mean, Tony? I know you know what I mean.
Yes,
I know you probably never can get away with it because everybody knows who you are. But I kind of can get away with it a little bit. And so I said, "Yeah, we do. We did get our tickets from the radio station." And I said, "My wife works there in marketing." And wow. My wife was at the...
Only a half lie. Only
it was
a
only
half
lie because my wife does work at a radio station in marketing, just not ours. And she was off in the restroom, so I was able to get away with that. Then she came back, and I whispered to her. I said, "I told the lady a little white lie. I said, you were the one who worked at the radio station, and you work in marketing. So if she starts asking you a bunch of questions, you'll know where they came from." And frankly, that's what happened. The rest of the time we were there, this lady chatted up my wife about marketing.
Yes!
But I now come... She also, this lady also had her headphones and said she liked to listen to the broadcasts during the game while she was sitting there. And she said, "You and Jesse do a great job, and she loves listening to you guys. And you guys give her all the information and the tidbits." Now I'm starting to wonder if you shouted me out during the broadcast, she may have heard that I was me after I told her that I was nobody. And so I...
Yeah, because I definitely mentioned both you and Lori. So
not to mention the rejoiners with your voice saying, "Hey, it's Quinn and Chris, 3 to 7 p.m. weekdays."
Yeah, I don't know if you can count. I don't know if she could tell that. But anyway, it was just... I'm sorry.
Listen.
I'm a bad person. I admit it sometimes.
Listen.
Most of the time when people come up, and I try to be as nice as possible, but I just, this lady was, anyway, I'm sorry, ma'am. I owe her an apology. I did.
I definitely can feel what you're talking about. Listen, I, on occasion, and it's rare, but there is times where I don't really want to go down the path that telling somebody who I am takes you, right? There's just, you know, some days maybe I'm not as... Yeah. As I'm not having as good of a day, right? So if I can sense that I can get away with saying that I'm, you know, not anybody, I certainly will take the opportunity on those specific days.
Yeah, well.
And I've been able to get away with it a couple times.
I did. I think I got away with it, but now I'm not sure I got away with it because you shouted me out on the radio, and I think she was listening to the radio. Not only that, on the other side of us, about two innings later, came two more people who actually work at the station, and they knew who I was. I was busy talking to them. I think the lady was able to put two and two together and kind of figure out that I was kind of giving her the brush off. I'm terrible. I you know what? I should go home. I should just go home. That's it.
You said he should go home, huh?
Number one, I'm very... Okay, let me start here. Number one, whenever I'm having a bad day and people ask who I am, I say Chris Ello.
Well, that's not going to help you.
Number two. Where are you getting these tickets from the station? Because
they were nice tickets.
Let me tell you, Paul was there on Friday nights.
They were fantastic. Paul
was there. That's what I'm saying.
They were beautiful.
Scrape, you missing out, man.
You gotta ask for tickets to a game.
Do I need
man.
A significant other? Is that the rule? The pretense?
Maybe. I think you can
maybe
just bring some
guys.
I will tell you this.
Big couples.
Peter Schwartz, our marketing guy here at the station, he knows my wife from working together previously. So I think that it's because Lori was going that I was gifted the nice tickets. I always feel if something nice happens to me, it's because Lori was involved.
I get it. There's no fun in having a single guy come and sit by himself at the
game.
I get it.
You know what? Lori wants to go to some more games. You're more than welcome. Give her a call. You guys can go.
Now I put myself in a spot where I don't want to.
And then you know what,
no.
though? So you'd be sitting next to that lady because she has season tickets and it's at every single game.
I would be okay with that.
All right. Well, if that nice lady is listening today, I apologize. But anyway, we had a lot of fun at the ball game. Stayed through six innings, which I think is pretty good for me.
Bedtime?
Yeah, it was past my bed. No, here's the thing. You don't need to stay past the sixth inning with the Padre bullpen, Tony. They're undefeated this year when leading after six innings. And
they're good, man.
Yeah,
they were ahead after
six innings yesterday. I said, that's ball game. It's a wrap, man. It's a wrap. And it was. So well done by the Padres. Great weekend for the Padres. I mean, obviously, to do this, as depleted as they are, Tony, I mean, you know, that's the thing that we have to keep remembering. I mean, you know, the guys that came through yesterday was, you know, Patrick Kivlahan with a sacrifice fly, Tucapita Marcano, who was the Ivan Castillo with his first major league hit and RBI. Obviously, Ryan Weathers at the beginning of the game able to shake off the two-run home run by Nolan Arenado and get the Padres into the fifth inning. And then, I like what Jace Tingler's doing now. I mean, if you're going to use Denelson Lamet for two innings, to me, those are the two innings to use him. The fourth and the fifth and the sixth, right there in the middle, and get to the bullpen. I really like that usage yesterday. And, you know, look, Saturday, they finally got the offense cranked up. Friday night, they made us sit there all night, but they got 12 walks and three hit batters to win that game. So, you know, that's nice. I mean, the Cardinals are usually a pretty good, solid ball club, and they play pretty good baseball. They don't give you a lot, but the Padres just kind of took a bunch from them this weekend, I thought.
No, I think that's pretty accurate. It's hard to have imagined that the offense would be this good with the guys that they're missing. They're 5-1 since everything went down, right?
Yeah.
And they've put up runs in almost all. They put up at least five in a few of them.
In every game. Yeah. The only game they didn't put five up was the one they lost.
What?
To the Rockies. They lost three to two game in eight innings.
Yeah,
they've scored five. Yeah, they've scored five or more in all of them.
13-3. 5-3.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, five runs, that's the magic number, right? You get to five, especially with this bullpen, it's a wrap. And that's exactly what we saw. They got to be a confident bunch, right? Because they don't even have four guys that absolutely are in the four guys that are absolutely in the lineup most nights.
Yeah.
Forget, it's not just a regular four. Like, it's like big four. Like, you got Profar, he's a big deal. We already know Tatis Jr.'s a big deal. Hosmer's a huge deal this year. And then you got Jorge Mateo. And Will Myers.
Excuse me. You got Will Myers.
So those are like the biggest – those are big pieces. And they just put up five runs pretty much, average over five runs per game. And, you know, they did their thing. And they can – I don't even want to say tread water because they did more than that in the time so far. But they're more than capable of being able to keep this going because they did all of that in this last series without you, Darvish, pitching. Like, their ace didn't even pitch.
No.
We got to see Joe get back on track a little bit. So it was all in all. I don't think you could have drove that weekend up any better than what went down.
No, I mean, we talked on Friday before the series, and honestly, going into this nine-game homestand, I'm thinking if they can tread water, go 5-4, that would be a quite an achievement.
Right.
Now, all of a sudden, I'm getting obviously going to get greedy because
you've got greedy. Yes,
of course you do because you've got Colorado coming in. Let me explain to everybody just how bad the Colorado Rockies are on the road. They are 2-14. In those 14 games, they've scored a total of only 31 runs.
Yeah.
That's 2 runs a game. They've been shut out 5 times. They were shut out twice by the Cardinals last weekend in St. Louis. When they play at home, the Rockies are a capable team. You know, they're a little over 500 team. You know, they can score some runs. But when they go on the road, you should be able to shut them down completely. And Darvish and Snell and Musgrove are lined up to pitch. You know, you've got to get greedy in this 3-game series coming up for sure. You have to.
You absolutely have to. And, you know, you mentioned it. This team, 5 times they've been shut out. That's over 30% of the time that they've been on the road. That's crazy.
They're averaging 2 runs a game over 14 games. That's a pretty good sample size.
I mean, all of a sudden, five and four seems silly, right?
Yeah, right. If you're thinking five and four, wasting it.
Right. 5-4 was like best case scenario going into that this weekend based on whatever we had seen.
Yeah.
That's as you said, it's time to get greedy now.
Time to get greedy. We'll see if Darvish can do it tonight. I'll tell you one thing I'd love to see him do, and I have a feeling he will do this tonight because he only pitched 4 innings in his last outing. But the Padres have not had a starter pitch into the 6th inning since Darvish did it on May the 5th.
I was
going
to say, it was Darvish. It had to be.
May the 5th. It's been 12 days and 9 games since they've had a starter reach the 6th inning. I got to believe Darvish will do that and more tonight and, you know, get this series off to a good start as the Padres play the Rockies. But we'll talk about it. Also, plenty of other things to discuss, not just the hot streak, winning 6 of 7 games, moving in within a half game of first place. But I don't know, Tony. Do we need a whole segment to defend Manny Machado? It seems as if we do because the entire country is calling Manny Machado now the dirtiest player in the history of Major League Baseball, which is laughable to me. And I really don't find it to be laughable just because I'm in San Diego. I find it to be laughable because he didn't do anything.
He got a lot of support from where it matters. So I'm not really tripping on it. We'll spend a brief time on it to talk about a little bit, but we won't spend too much time because it's a bunch of nonsense.
There's
a lot to get to in terms of Manny, this division, things that are going on. So we'll get to it when we come back.
We'll do it all when we return. Albert Pujols signed officially with the Dodgers today. A lot of people are expecting him in their lineup tonight because they're facing a left-handed pitcher. So we'll talk about Pujols and are you sorry that the Dodgers got him and the Padres didn't? We can discuss all of that. But everything else, the NBA playoffs are set. So we'll kick that around a little bit on the program. And as I said, A.J. Cassavell will kick things off talking Padre baseball here in about 15 minutes. So stick around. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr. Tony Gwynn Jr. is easily the nicer of the two. I think my opening story has proven that for once and for all. Thank you, Scraby. Appreciate you being... Finally, you're on the ball with something. Why are you always on the ball when it's time to, you know, when it's time to get a little digging at me?
Showtime!
Then you're on the ball.
That's what it is, showtime.
It's showtime. All right, we'll come back to the show then with Gwynn and Chris. San Diego's number one sports talk station, 97.3 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, sometimes it's not always necessary to get your opinion off. That's one of the lessons that should be learned. Manny Machado yesterday. And I promise you guys on everything I love, When as soon as it happened, I turned to Jesse, and you could ask him. I turned to Jesse. I said, I just kind of looked down. I was like, I wonder what this is going to result in. In my mind, I'm thinking to myself, people are going to blow this out of proportion. Sure enough, this morning, boom, people are blowing it out of proportion.
You know, this whole thing has been a dumpster fire.
You know, I couldn't agree anymore, Alvin Gentry. I think that it has been a dumpster fire. And only from the standpoint of it's a bunch of nonsense. We should be spending no time on this at all. Much like the whole spat between Joe Girardi and
Gene Segura.
Gene Segura. So it's a whole lot to do on that. He was avoiding the tag. And if you really watch it, he should have just rolled over and kept going to second. He never got tagged. Never.
Yeah, he would have been safe.
He would have been safe. And that's the whole. That's exactly what you're taught to do.
Was Tommy Edman upset in any way, shape, or form?
No, but here's the thing.
Of course not.
Is it his fault that he weighs about, I don't know, what do you think Manny weighs, 220?
And Tommy Edman weighs 120?
Tommy probably weighs 180, 185?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Oh, that wasn't that was nothing. Oh, my goodness.
And then to top it off, not only did he basically give himself up, because, again, he was never tagged, he turned immediately to check on Tommy Edman to see how he was.
Yeah, I watched for that. And
it's silly.
There was another thing about that play that I don't know if any of the naysayers have brought up.
The dignitaries?
But Manny Machado had to get down because Tommy Edman was about to throw the ball.
Yeah.
So well, if he doesn't get down, he's going to get hit right between the eyes. So
no, I think there were so many
reasons why he had to get down there to try and get out of the way of everything.
Yeah, I don't know if he was getting ready to get hit by the ball, but because it looked like Edman was trying to tag him, he was trying to turn the double play.
Yeah,
and if Manny doesn't get down, guess what? He gets the easy tag and he's got a chance to turn too.
Yeah,
but because he gets down in his attempt. Most guys, what they would have done is once Manny goes down, they would have just threw it the first, right? Now Manny's got to fight to get up and get to second base before the tag.
Yes.
And they wouldn't even have dealt with it. But Edman tried to get the tag. He ends up, you know, fall, or I don't know how you want to say it, whether it was Manny that ends up accidentally taking him out, trying to get out of the way of the ball. Or
I don't know. He tumbled over him.
He tumbled over Manny, basically. And there was no play.
Can I just direct everybody, which some people actually took the time correctly to do on Twitter, direct people to the Albert Bell Fernando Vina play, direct people to the Hal McRae slide against Willie Randolph in the AL playoffs. Remember you looked that up a few weeks ago, Scraby, where Hal McRae took Willie Randolph all the way out to left field on a slide. This was absolutely nothing. And we are so soft sometimes, you know, and just waiting to try and create a controversy where there is none.
Yeah. No, there's no doubt about it, Chris.
Yeah.
We are so – it's like we got the itchy trigger finger in terms of waiting to get our shot off on the first controversy, first thing that looks like there could be controversy. And – this ain't it.
This is not it. But you know
this
what? I kind of don't mind the fact if everybody around the country really wants to think that the Padres now are a bunch of dirty, you know, hard-nosed, they'll take you out type players. Yeah, that's fine. That's not a bad image to have if that's what you really want to try to have your image of the Padres be. But I think it's really only Dodger fans and a few Cardinal fans. Even Cardinal fans are smart enough to understand baseball to be too overly upset with that play. Cardinal fans are among the smartest in baseball. That's what I'm told. And I know when you've gone to St. Louis, the fans are pretty savvy there. I think everybody understood what was going on in that play. But, man, people can't help themselves. They got to try and, you know, stir something up.
Yeah, no, I think it's just the loudest voices are the few, it seems like. It doesn't seem like a lot of people are feeling the same way. But the mere fact that people are trying to paint Manny as being dirty, and it only, you know what it stems from? It stems from, and I put my fingers up in quotes, air quotes, is his reputation, supposedly, that preceded him. So
He stepped on Jesus Aguilar's foot, did he not, in that playoff game when he was with the Dodgers? Game. Well, when he was with the Dodgers, he was kind of a dirty player. But now that he's a Padre, he's clean as a whistle. I'm joking. He's the same guy, and he plays the game. You know, it's just, all right, stop it, Scraby. Scraby's just digging at me, you know, on every opportunity today. I'm not happy with that.
I think he's doing it on purpose, too. He's trying to get under your skin.
Of course he is. He's trying to get me riled up.
Is it working?
Oh, yes, it's working.
Thank you.
You're out at the break. Hopefully you'll come back for the next segment.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Among other things, so first of all, we spent far too much time on that.
I know.
The whole idea was for us to hit it briefly.
Yes.
We ended up spending almost the whole segment. All good. Albert Pujols, he has officially become a Dodger. He did a press conference today. He expressed no ill will towards the Angels. I thought it was a classy move on his part. And, you know, we'll see how beneficial this is to the Dodgers when it's all said and done. So
I don't think it's going to be a bad move. I mean, look, he's going to play for a while. He's going to play, I think, against left-handed pitching. We'll find out starting tonight. Their lineup is not out yet for tonight's game, but they're facing a lefty, Madison Bumgarner. Gavin Lux is their second baseman who bats left-handed. He can't hit lefties. So, you know, put Pujols at first base. You move Max Muncy to second base against lefties. And you see how it works if you're the Dodgers. They've got like 50 guys on the disabled list or the injured list. Corey Seager is the latest now to join the group with a broken hand. So, I think it's a solid move for the Dodgers. I know the Padre fans are going to say, well, you know, if Pujols, you know, hits a couple of home runs, then the Padre fans will be complaining, well, why didn't we get him? Because the Padres still don't need him. Even with everything going on, they still don't need Albert Pujols. And
Bottom line,
once Eric Hosmer comes back, you've got plenty of guys that can play first base, and Jake can play there, and you got plenty of people that you can maneuver around. But I think for the Dodgers, it's a solid move. And I honestly, you know, without ever rooting for the Dodgers to be successful, I'd like to see Pujols hit a few more home runs and have a little more glory. He's been a fantastic player and just a fantastic athlete and you know, representative for the sport of baseball. I'd like to see him go out not on top, but just go out with some success. I have no problem with that. I really don't. He's a class guy all the way around.
I've had a chance to compete against Albert. I feel the same exact way. I don't want it to be at the expense of the Padres by any means.
No.
But you certainly want to see him go out on a high note, and it happens to be with the Dodgers, which, you know, not necessarily ideal, but if you're a fan of the game, you can't. I don't know how you can feel any other type of way, for sure. All right, well, let's get to break. My Lakers gonna be in the play-in game against Golden State on Wednesday. I look forward to that matchup. I think the Lakers should get in there.
They got two chances to win, Tony.
Right. They got two chances.
Right.
They got two
chances. They lose Wednesday, then they'll play again on Friday and play Memphis or San Antonio. So they're going to get in the postseason one way or the other. And I got to be honest with you, I kind of like where they are.
I do too.
Because if they get in as the 7 seed by beating Golden State, then they draw Phoenix in the first round. And as good as Phoenix has been this year, no playoff experience at all. Except for Chris Paul.
Chris Paul can't give you experience. I mean, he can give it to him yourself, but he can't pass it to the other guys. They won't get experience because he's there. So we will see how that works. I'm certainly hoping that matchup ends up occurring, because that would mean the Lakers win the first game, which is fine by me.
Right.
All right, let's step away, take a break. When we come back, AJ Cassavell joins us to talk about this Padre squad, what they pulled off over the weekend. Plus, I got to ask him, what is the deal with Denilson Lamet? Is this something we're going to see on a consistent basis? Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3. The Fan.
First thing I did was I gave him a high five. I thought it was a play, honestly, that won the game. I think it shows, you know, a couple things. You know, we got 5 guys out. This guy's playing his butt off on a day game where we've already won the series. You got Jake Cronenworth busting his tail down the line. And you got Manny staying out of the double play. And quite frankly, it's a clean play. It's a play that coming up, with the Blue Jays. It was a play, you know, we talked about, we were drilled into as young minor league players. And so it's just a weird narrative, honestly, you know, for people to have, you know, such a crazy take, like it's acceptable to give up. It's acceptable to not try. It's acceptable. Like, so I thought it was a play that won the game yesterday, honestly.
Yeah, there he is, Jace Tingler, talking about the play, Manny Machado, the dirtiest player in baseball, apparently, according to some people on Twitter anyway, overreacting to a simple play where he just got out of the way and saved the Padres from a double play and helped trigger a key inning as the Padres beat the Cardinals yesterday 5-3. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Gwynn and Chris back with you on 97.3 The Fan. You know, I don't want to keep talking about it overly, but I just don't want people to think that if this was a play that Max Muncy made in a Dodger-Pittsburgh game, I would say it's a clean play. So I just want people to understand right. that. This is right. not coming from a Padre angle. That was just a clean play and period. So, yeah, thank you. Put the period and the exclamation point at the end of it. This hour is brought to you by Vons and Albertsons. Outdoor entertaining begins with great deals at Vons or Albertsons. Fire up the grill and enjoy savings on favorites like USDA Choice Beef Tri-Tip Roast. Untrimmed, now just $4.79 a pound with a club card. I got one, a club card anyway, where applicable, valid through May 18th. Vons and Albertsons, thank you very much. Gwynn and Chris rolling along until 6 o'clock tonight, then Padre pregame show. Padres and the Colorado Rockies getting set tonight. Yu Darvish will be on the hill for the Padres. John Gray, who always pitches pretty well against the Padres, I must say, will be pitching for Colorado. But, again, this is a 2-14 Rockies team on the road. So Padres, even though they're not full strength, got to get a little greedy this week with the Rockies coming in for three games. And we'll get the latest from A.J. Cassavell on the Padres here in just a second. But first, let's check traffic on 97.3 The Fan. And indeed, joining us on the Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad fan hotline is MLB.com's AJ Cassavell. AJ, how you doing today? Good to talk with you as always, sir.
I'm doing well. I didn't, you know, my job's weird sometimes. Sometimes I wake up in the morning and the game I watched last night and the things I wrote about the night before are not the things that everyone's talking about. So I was kind of surprised to have to address all of this even today, but I guess maybe it comes with the territory covering Manny Machado and the way he's perceived.
Yes. Well, you're not going to have to address it any longer because I think Tony and I have put a period and an exclamation point at the end of that play. Let's talk a little bit about this offense right now and how they're getting it done. Seven games, they've averaged exactly 7 runs per game over this stretch, scored 49 runs in 7 games. They've gone 6-1. And obviously they're doing it without 4 starters. This is what championship teams do, and I know, you know, it's a long way to go, and we don't know exactly what this stretch, what kind of effect it'll have on the entire season, but this seems like a huge, huge statement being made by this organization that they got more than just a handful of guys you've read about.
Yeah, it's a testament to the depth they've built. I mean, they kept talking about it. They talked about it all winter when they kept acquiring guys and building this kind of deep roster with extra pieces here and there. And I think I don't think they expected it to be tested like this, especially this quickly. Yeah. But so far, it's paid excellent dividends, and it's appetizing to think, kind of, hey, what's this lineup going to look like when those guys are all back and are all healthy and are all in there, and maybe you mix and match, and Tommy Pham starts against certain guys, Profar starts against other guys, Ha-Sun Kim's in there filling in, and you have legitimate, really good big league depth pieces. That's guys on your bench who can come in and on any given day, maybe give one of those big names a day off, and you're not losing a whole lot. Like that's what the Padres felt they were getting, and they haven't really gotten that this season. But now that all those bench guys are playing, they're performing, and in theory, if those guys come back and do what they're capable of, that's the Padres offense that they felt they built during the winter.
Let me ask you this, AJ, because you're on the calls, the Zooms, pretty much every day. I'm usually on this show every time the Zoom starts, so I miss it. But what do you think the game plan is for Denelson Lamet? He starts one day, his next start he comes out the bullpen. What is the idea behind it?
I think the idea behind it is to tell us as little as possible. So I don't have a whole lot of that answer there. But at least in the short term, the game plan is in the short term, the game plan is to keep on this path. Kind of you take it outing by outing and figure out where Dinelson Lamet fits best. Do you need a starter that day? He can come in and maybe give you three innings. Do you need to piggyback someone off Ryan Weathers? He can come in and do that. And it's important that they allow Lamet. Lamet's not going to be coming in the middle of an inning with two guys on base. I mean, he's going to be given his time to get loose in the bullpen. And he said yesterday that he's treating it as a start. And I think the long-term view is that eventually you want to build Dinelson Lamet up into a, even if he's only going 5-6 and no more than that, the long-term view is that Dinelson Lamet's a starter. The short-term view is that he's not there yet, and the Padres are going to, they're going to treat him with extreme caution because of the injuries he's had and because of how good he is, and they want to get the most out of him, and the best time to get the most out of him isn't mid-May. And so right now they're going to continue to build him up slowly. He's going to pitch probably 2-3 innings for a little bit, and then maybe you steadily increase to 4-5. And what role that comes in, I'm not entirely sure. I think that'll be determined on a game-to-game basis.
Yeah, that's a good guess, AJ, because we really are left to guess quite a bit. And talk a little bit about how covering baseball has changed now in the last year and a half, because we are left really to the devices of what the Padres kind of want to tell us. We can't really go check anything. We can't really talk to anybody they don't put in front of us on a Zoom call. So I don't know, this is great, but it's obviously great that we have baseball, but as far as covering baseball, it has certainly presented new challenges for you and all of us.
Yeah, and there's certain stories where it affects things maybe more than others, and I think Lamet is one of them, like how the Padres are planning to use him. We don't have a whole lot of information there. I know you said you put a period on the Machado story, but I think if we had regular clubhouse access in a normal time, I think we go down and talk to everyone and learn that the play is clean, and they all say the play is clean.
Yeah.
And even our Cardinals writer will go into the Cardinals clubhouse and they'll all say the play is clean. I mean, the guys that talked yesterday essentially said that anyway. And I think it becomes less of a story because you're hearing from guys who have played instead of different corners of the Twitter sphere. And and the focus is on what the guys who know are saying. Like, here's what I'll say, and then I'm done talking about this slide. But what I'll say is, if you're a casual baseball fan who maybe doesn't completely understand all the rules of the game, and you're watching that play and you're watching Machado slide into Edmund, I think it's fair to think like, that's an interesting play. Is that a clean play? I don't know the answer to that. It's fair to have that question, but the answer to that is yes, it's 100% a clean play. And so there should be no assumption that it was a dirty play just because of who it is or because of how it looked or whatever. The question should be, was it a clean play? I don't know. And then you pretty vehemently have gotten answers from all parties, former major league players and whoever else. But I think it took a little bit of time for those answers to maybe come out because of the challenges of covering baseball now.
That's such a good point, AJ. The fact that if we were in a normal media time, that would have probably been nipped in the bud last night. It might have been still a topic for people to discuss, but there would have been significant names that would have been talked to afterwards that would have all kind of put us at least in the spot where we should be starting the conversation from, as opposed to going off of old things that may or may not have been considered for Manny Machado. So I'll ask you this, and this is kind of similar to the Nelson Lamet story question. How about Weathers? Like, is he building up to get back to, you know, having a chance to get through 5-6, maybe 7?
I think probably the Padres wouldn't mind having that as an option, but I also don't think they're gonna push for that right now. And so Ryan Weathers can't throw 200 innings this season. You're not gonna do that with a 21-year-old rookie who's never really, I don't think he's ever even come that close to 100.
That's true.
So
that's true.
You can't have him.
He's gonna be. It's kind of gonna be the same thing like with Chris Paddock a couple years ago, right?
It will be the same thing in terms of how they monitor it. But it's obviously a little different because this is a team that wants to be playing in the postseason, and you don't want to be shutting Ryan Weathers down. And I forget when I know the Padres gave Chris Paddock 10 days off here, 10 days off there, and then shut him down early. You don't want to be doing that with Ryan Weathers. So you have to find a because this is a team you expect to be playing into October. So the difference being, how do you now get to that? And I think the answer is maybe you let them go three here and there. If you piggyback him and Nelson Lamet, I mean, they're very different pitchers from different sides. And that's those two guys going six innings, I would not, if I'm an opposing team, I wouldn't want to face that. And I wouldn't want a game plan for that. I wouldn't want to construct a lineup that, you know, is going to face those different kind of guys. And if that's how the Padres plan to get through this, I mean, look, there's an extra roster spot from when Chris Paddock went through this. You have an extra, there's a 26th guy. And so you can maybe use that to keep yourself some freedom on the roster to have these guys not throw as many innings as a traditional starter while still having enough flexibility elsewhere.
AJ Cassavell is with us from MLB.com. I'm going to stick on the same area, AJ. I was going back through some of the box scores here. It's been since May the 5th now, which is 12 days and 9 games, since any Padres starting pitcher has pitched into the sixth inning. That was Yu Darvish, who went 5 2/3 against Pittsburgh on May the 5th. Double check my math before you write that somewhere, but I'm pretty sure if you go through. It's been 3 innings, 4 innings for all of the starting pitchers, 2 innings on some occasions. I'm not going to ask how long this can keep up because the Padres are proving it works. Do you think this is something that the Padres are kind of falling in like with, though, and may just kind of continue going along with this? Or would they eventually really, truly like to get to where their starters are going 7 and 8 innings like pitchers used to?
Yeah, I think it depends on the starter. And they want to get – I know they want to get Blake Snell to a place where he's pitching more than he is pitching deeper into games, but his starts just frankly haven't been good enough. I mean, he's been he's thrown too many pitches in his innings to merit him going into the 6th and 7th inning. So I think with Darvish, Snell, and Musgrove, if you're getting 6-7 innings from those guys, then the Padres want to see that from those guys specifically. And then at the back end of the rotation, maybe they kind of fall into this like a newer age mindset where let's just cover 9 innings however we can. Let's cover 9 innings to keep our guys fresh. And if you're maybe only asking for 4 or 5 from Chris Paddock and then 3 apiece from Lamet and Weathers, and then you're really getting what you would expect out of a regular starting pitcher from Musgrove, Snell, and Darvish, I think that's perfectly sustainable. What isn't sustainable is if you're not getting those deep outings from Musgrove, Snell, and Darvish, which, I mean, the Padres haven't gotten those lately. They did a little bit more earlier in the season. The tax on the bullpen, I think, probably would become apparent maybe later in the season if you're not going to get that length from those guys. But I also think those guys have the track record where I would expect them to be going deeper into games more often than not.
All right, AJ, thank you very much for the update on the Padres. Real quick, just on the COVID situation, I'm hearing it's possible we could get Hosmer, Profar, Mateo back a little sooner than people think. Did they say anything about that today, or do you know?
Yeah, so Jace mentioned that it is a possibility that those guys come back before tonight's game, but I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, that information's kept so closely guarded, and frankly, the team has no incentive or reason, or they're not even I think supposed to announce like the specifics of it. So we will find out, I guess, whenever we find out, and then you can react to that. But I believe the Profar Mateo situations are slightly different from Hosmer because Hosmer played in that game last Tuesday. But I don't all the details of what's going on and what the how soon after they have to be tested and how soon they have to have 2 negative tests. Like, we don't have access to when all that stuff's happening.
Yeah.
So they could all be available tonight, but Tatis and Myers would be a little bit longer.
Perfect. All right. Thank you, AJ. Appreciate it.
Thanks, AJ.
Great visiting with you. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys.
All right. There he is. MLB.com's AJ Cassavell on the Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad fan hotline. Save money the right way with Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad. Visit them today in the Carlsbad Auto Mall. Chevrolet, find new roads. All right, well, that's the latest on all of the Padres stuff. You're pretty much up to date. Padres and Rockies, a couple of hours away, a couple of minutes away. It's Chris versus the fans. Chance for you to win fabulous Vegas trip prizes playing trivia. Dial in right now for your opportunity. 833-288-0973. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby, Gwynn and Chris, 97.3 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.